Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. Something you'd like to talk about? Let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about resurrection, and a word that comes to mind when I think about resurrection is the word anticipation. We know that Jesus Christ is alive. He ascended into heaven with the promise that he's going to come back. So the fact that he's alive, the fact that he said he's going to come back, makes us anticipate that. We, as believers, look forward to his return. Well, that wouldn't be possible if resurrection didn't occur, if he wasn't raised back to life. Well, here's the other aspect of anticipation. When you and I come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're made alive. We're born again of the Spirit, and God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. And that's a seal, that's a guarantee of what lies ahead. So we know there's this hope of a bodily resurrection for us. And so what does that do for us today? It enables us to live in anticipation of that coming event. I love how Peter put it in his second letter. Yesterday we talked about a verse out of 1 Peter that says that we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at the end of his second letter, he said, so what kind of people ought you to be in light of this great truth that you have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We know something's coming. We know God is going to come back, that Jesus is going to return, that he is going to set up his kingdom. Well, how should we live then? Well, we should live in anticipation of that event and what enables us to do so. The fact that we have the resurrected life of Jesus Christ living inside of us. We can be different in this world of darkness. We can live a different kind of light in this crazy world that we live in today because Jesus Christ is alive and living in us. So I think anticipation and resurrection go hand in glove as far as how we're to live here and now.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. Again, my name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. We want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of the conversation. That's why we're here on the air live every day. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call and fulfill that mission.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Queens and talk with our good friend Gil. Hi, Gil.
Hey, as always, praise the Lord.
Indeed. What's on your mind today?
Oh, the Lord, we have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and a big hug to Bob Davis, too. Whenever I'm tempted to do something wrong, I hear Bob Davis, no, don't do that, or no, don't argue with your parents, or whatever. I hear him talking to me, but it's a nice gesture, though. I just wanted to say that before I talk about what I wanted to share. So a hug to all of you. Thank you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In light of Titus 3:5, it says, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In light of that, I heard a woman on the radio on a shortwave station, and she seems to speak the same thing you guys speak about grace and law, and resurrection life. Can you explain the difference between requirement versus privilege? Because she was talking about how if it's a requirement, you know, it's a burden, and if it's a privilege to serve the Lord, you know, it's not like I have to read the Bible, but I do it because I love him, because 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us.
Well, Gail, that's a good question, and it really gets right to the heart and soul of how we live this Christian life. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. So we understand that at the moment of salvation. That's a work of God. That's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest we boast. So salvation is by grace through faith. Well, the Christian life is lived in exactly the same way, by grace through faith. Grace is God's empowering presence. He enables us to live a new way of life. And that's how we go about this Christian life. I think that's where much of the confusion lies today in the Christian world. I know that was my problem. I didn't know how to live the Christian life. So I tried through human effort. I gave it my best shot but fell flat on my face. And I know there's a lot of people out there falling flat on their face every single day. But they pull themselves up. They promise God, I'm going to do better tomorrow. And the same thing happens, and then the same promise is given until eventually they give up. And when they give up, that's when they can really latch on to this resurrected life that is theirs in Christ Jesus. So it's Jesus Christ who is alive living in us. We just abide in him by faith, and we bear the fruit of his life in us. That's how we live the Christian life. That's what it's all about. So it's not about human effort. It's about faith in the resurrected Christ, allowing him to live his life in and through us.
It's a privilege, because I know you're reciting Ephesians 2. Let me just see if I can remember. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Somewhere Paul says that if it were not a gift, then it would be an obligation, I think, in Romans.
That's exactly right. Romans 4, and salvation is always a gift. The Christian life is actually a gift of grace as well. As I've said a number of times on the program, Christianity is grace from start to finish. It's not grace and then you move on to something else. It's grace through and through. Grace is the door that grants us entry into this new life that we have in Christ. Grace is actually the way we live once we have been saved as well. Richard?
Yes.
You've got to be careful of that word privilege, though. I know several ministries. I used to be one of these people that said, oh, it is a privilege to serve God. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by privilege is that now that I'm saved, I can behave better. And I got trapped right back in the same behaviorism that I was trapped in before I got saved. Now I was saved. Now I was trying to keep myself saved instead of get saved in the first place. The privilege we have is sharing in the divine nature. Very God, as in the form of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. There's the privilege. And so to serve him is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and walk by faith in what the Spirit is doing in and through us. And as long as we keep that clarity there, privilege is a beautiful word.
Amen. There's a privilege to quote this scripture in case there are any new listeners, and I'm also blind too. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Present tense. And I love serving the Lord and telling people about Jesus, even on the radio.
Well, Gail, we always love hearing from you, and thanks for jumping on the broadcast today.
Thanks for giving a seat to a sheep. Happy Sheep Day, guys.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Joel, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joel.
Pretty good, sir. Can you explain to me Luke 16, verse 15?
Okay, here's what that verse says. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Well, he's referring to self-righteousness. So the Pharisees were very good at making themselves look good in the eyes of men. They were self-righteous. Well, self-righteousness is as filthy rags to God. It's detestable in his sight. It means nothing as far as God is concerned. It may mean something in the eyes of men, but not in the eyes of God.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Well, you are so welcome, Joel. Thanks for your call. We appreciate that.
Yes, indeed. And a reminder that we've got a great conference coming up. It's called STAND 2014. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. And Bob and Richard, we're hoping that many of our listener friends from across the country can come and participate. It's going to be a great time with Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch. Three great speakers with one message, and we hope that you will take advantage of the opportunity. STAND 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. You can find information at stand2014.com. Again, stand2014.com.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you for that. And I certainly hope many of our listeners will come and join us for that particular conference. We held a conference like that last year. We had close to 300 people that showed up. We want more than that this year.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. It was just a fantastic 2.5 days together. I mean, lots and lots of fellowship took place. Incredible teaching in the Word of God. Questions were asked, answers were given, music was there. It was just fabulous. I mean, we had folks of all ages, all walks of life from every part of the country.
And Canada.
That's exactly right. It is something that is definitely worth coming to. I would put it on your calendar and make every effort to come join us this June 19th through the 21st.
And again, stand2014.com is the website. All the information and an opportunity to register online is right there, stand2014.com. Now still time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Give us a call, friends, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Joel's question just directed my mind to Romans chapter 10. So I want to read this passage, and then we'll go to our next caller. But in Romans chapter 10, Paul had this to say in the first four verses of that chapter. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. And here's the real rub with the Pharisees. And this is exactly what Jesus was addressing in that passage in Luke. Paul wrote this, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So they had established their own standard for righteousness. It's called self-righteousness, and that's detestable to God. Why? Because self-righteousness leads us away from faith in Jesus and makes us try to stand on our own two feet. Well, that's an impossibility. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No form of good works, no form of righteous deeds will cover up that reality. If that's going to change, it has to come through faith in Jesus and faith in Jesus alone.
Without question, yeah.
Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Sherman listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sherman.
Amen. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, please, I love your program. You guys really get it in. You do a good thing here on the radio.
Well, thank you.
My question is, you know, I'm a little perplexed in my soul. You know, I'm a West Indian. I came to this country when I was 9. I met my mother when I was 9. You know, anyway, aside from that, I've always tried to do what was good and proper. I'm a carpenter. You know, my brothers taught me well. I lost my wife when I was 23. That was about 14 years ago. Now, I allowed her family, her aunt, to stay in my life, in my children's life. You know, my oldest child was not biologically mine, so I refused to separate them. Anyway, the woman took off with my children, and, you know, I have a lot of faith. Like I said, I was 23. I always try to do the right thing. I stay out of the eyes of the law, and, you know, things of that nature. Just very neighborly, my family, everyone is on point. Except for this one situation, this woman took off with my children, and now I'm being pursued like you wouldn't believe. You know, I read my Bible continually. I pray continually. You know, I stay in a sorrowful state.
Well, Sherman, when you say you're being pursued, what exactly does that mean?
Well, right now, the way that, you know, the world system works, you know, between child support, You understand? Because this woman, like I said, she took my children. She has taken money from the state of New York, and she's taken money from the state of Virginia. So being that my child is mine, I'm on a birth certificate and stuff. You know, the state is coming after me. You understand?
For child support, okay.
Yes, for child support. It's to the sum right now of 30-something, almost $40,000. You understand? Now, this is in the past 14 years. Unbeknownst to me, in 2004 in Virginia, there was a judgment set against me, set against my name, set against my number. And you understand? By the time it got to New York, and I went to the courts to say, hey, what's going on? What is this about? You understand? Can I get some information? I was thrown in jail. I've been to jail twice already. You know, I'm no slouch. You know, energy is nothing to me. But my heart is like, my heart stays in this. The 20th was her 14-year anniversary, the 20th of April. You know, now, as it is, you know, I travel back and forth from New York to Virginia, picking my daughter up, taking her back on my own accord. The courts say that's a gift that I give her as a father, being able to, you know, provide those things.
So how old is your law, how old is your daughter?
She's going to be 18 this year.
Okay.
Her mother, when her mother passed, she was 3. Her sister was 7. When I went to the courts, they told me, you know, take them, separate them. I said, I cannot. You know, for the love of God, I cannot. So, you know, I was given the visitation and things of that nature. No monetary. I was left at liberty in New York. This woman was in New York, and when I came back to New York from Pennsylvania, she took off with my children. You know, it's only by the grace of God I was able to get her back into court. But now I'm like really, really being like downtrodden. You know, I have a probation officer, financial probation officer, to make sure I pay money. I have the judge. I have child support enforcement on me. You know, they took my license. Meanwhile, they're beating me and tell me, find a job, find a job. You understand? And the emotional toll and the spiritual toll, I mean, spiritually, I'm fine. I'm beautiful. I know God. I know His grace. I know His words. I look for Him. I feel Him in everything. My children love me. You understand? This child in particular loves me. Even for Easter.
Well, Sherman, let me ask you this. What do you want us to help you with in, as far as this is concerned?
I'm trying to balance. You know, I've believed in good government, you know, to whatever extent. I've tried to balance myself with doing what's good under the law. You know, I pay money to child support and things of that nature. But when my daughter calls and she said, Daddy, I need money, I'm sending her money. Either one of my children, you understand? So I'm trying to balance between the law and the spirit. I mean, really, we don't have a chance to, like, see God. We can't really, you know, push for God, you know, because everything is so busy, everything is hustle and bustle.
Well, Sherman, let me just jump in. I mean, you have a legal situation that you're involved in, and mm-hmm. you've got the state of Virginia that
and
is saying something,
York.
And the state
mm-hmm.
of New York that is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best thing you can do is try to get some legal counsel, some legal advice mm-hmm. on how to navigate mm-hmm. through that, but I think from you know, a spiritual standpoint, you say, hey, I know I'm the dad. I know mm-hmm. it was upon my shoulders to be the provider, to be mm-hmm. the one that cares for them,
mm-hmm.
and so in some way I want to honor that. And
mm-hmm. I've attempted to honor that and more, because I believe in family. You know, where I come from, you know, grandparents and parents and, you know, everyone takes care of the children. You understand what I'm saying? There's no this.
Well, I think, like I said, I would try to find mm-hmm. some legal counsel. I would express mm-hmm. that to your legal counsel and see how mm-hmm. you can really kind of present your heart on the matter in these court situations, these legal situations, mm-hmm. and see mm-hmm. how this problem can be resolved.
Yes, the courts I can handle. You understand?
Yeah.
That's just a physical thing. I can handle that. It's the fact that this woman is in the church. She goes to church 3 times a week. You understand? I believe my daughter was getting a good spiritual chance in life, you know. This is United House of Prayer for All People. I basically gave my child to God. You understand? I didn't give just to this woman, you know. I gave it to God and to the situation. The fact that, you know, her mother was taken from me, you know, caused me great. So I wanted family. You know, I wanted these things. But now the law is just like coming in and just knocking everything down, you know.
Well, maybe you know? you reach out to this lady and have a conversation. I mean,
Yes, I tried. She doesn't want to have any conversation.
Well, and you can't force that. You can't force
that. Yeah, she blatantly told me. This is in 2007. Since 2007, I said, listen, you've already sent away my older child. What is the deal with my child? Like, you know, my biological child. Can I have my daughter? She said, no, you can have her when she's 18 and this, that, the other. She called cops and all kind of things. And I'm like, listen, I'm not into all of that. You know, it's a gift. You understand? The gift of God is eternal life. The ability to...
Sherman, I just think this is a legal situation now. You need to find some legal counsel. Obviously, you don't have opportunity to work it out with this woman as far as as the situation is concerned. She wants nothing to do with you. She doesn't want to sit down and talk through those problems. So you're going to have to express your heart and your concern and your real support and provision through the legal system. Just get an attorney and let him walk you through this process, okay?
Okay, I understand. Yeah. I understand. It's a little rough. You know,
I understand. It's a rough situation.
There's
a lot
like
to the story.
You know, I would like to think I'm sound and, you know, and the relationship with my child and, you know, the goodness that's being done is you know, is official. But, you know, I do have to deal with the law on those levels.
Well, be wise about that. And and I think that that's all you can do in this situation. Sherman, we appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some information, okay? You hang on.
Guys, I had a question from Fernando, who lives in Manteca, California. He says, can you please tell me what you think of a pastor who has a church and at the same time has a business where he sells alcohol? I personally don't think that's right. He teaches about salvation and sin. Then, on the other hand, he is selling alcohol and cigarettes to the very same people he should be preaching the gospel to. Am I right or wrong to feel this way? That's from Fernando in Manteca.
Well, we're always asking, am I right or wrong to feel this way? Well, you feel that way.
Yeah, and, you just do.
Yeah, you just do. Now, you go to the Word of God and you look and say, what does the Word of God have to say about those sort of things? It seems a little hypocritical to stand up and preach the gospel, you know, on one day and then sell alcohol and cigarettes on the next day. It seems a little strange. I know of a guy here in the Dallas area who had a bar and a barbecue restaurant, and he became a Christian. And boy, he struggled mightily with the fact that he was selling alcohol. And finally, he just felt like the Lord was saying to him, needed to shut down the bar. And that was a huge amount of income for him. But he said, I'm going to have to trust the Lord. And he did. He shut down the bar, and his business is doing just fine. And now, in that place where the bar was, he holds a weekly Bible study. And we just have to realize that, you know, the Bible says don't be stumbling blocks. And there's lots of ways that we can be stumbling blocks. And if we're going to be interested in working with people and ministering to people, we need to keep that in mind at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Fernando, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. Well, friends, for the rest of this month, we're offering Bob Christopher's CD series, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828 for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Also, a quick reminder also, as we did a few moments ago, about our June Bible conference called Stand 2014. All the information there at stand2014.com. Take advantage of the opportunity to go there and get information or register. But now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.